Three facts make this tornado one of the worst in our nation's history. First, it was part of a substantial front that day that caused storms in four states, Indiana, Missouri, Michigan, and Illinois, and created at least seven tornadoes. In Illinois alone, 20 other communities were hit. There were individual deaths in Chicago and suburban Stone Park, but only Oak Lawn, with 23 killed, had as many lives lost. A home in southeast Rockford was leveled as part of the storm cell. Second, Belvedere's tornado struck at vulnerable places at the worst possible times, hitting a grocery store, a hospital, two schools, and several businesses, including a livestock auction house that was filled with people only on that day at that time. Incredibly, it smacked into Belvedere High School just as students were leaving for the day and buses were lined up waiting to pick them up. Third, while there was a tornado watch issued, no official warning came until 4:03 p.m., well after the storm had swept its ugly path through Belvedere. It was a time well before our cell phones and news immediacy. Most of the public artifacts from that day can be seen at the Boone County Historical Museum. According to local legend, the car-sized dent that appears several feet above ground on a metal grain bin on an Irene Road farm southeast of Belvedere is a reminder from that day. Aside from the tornado monument, few physical signs remain. What will never be forgotten are the stories of what happened on April 21st, 1967, stories that are still fresh today, 50 years later.
You recount the stories of many people who experienced this storm firsthand.
Yes.
And these accounts were archived in the Boone County Historical Museum. They include hospital staff, workers at the Chrysler plant, but more than half of the lives lost occurred at Belvedere High School, where a bunch of buses were partially filled with elementary school students, and then they were waiting to pick up the high schoolers. I wondered if you could describe the effect of the high winds at that moment when such a large number of children could not have been more vulnerable.
Well, you're looking at a situation. It was a bus staging point at that point, and they don't do that anymore. They have a whole different bus system of routes and such. But it picked up students from not only the elementary schools, but two private schools as well, St. James and Emmanuel Lutheran, and the junior high school. And they were taken then to Belvedere High School. So the tornado is coming at the time school is letting out. So not only do you have students pouring out of the school, getting into cars, the parents are waiting for them in cars, driving their own cars out of the parking lot, but you have buses lined up on what is the northeast side of the current high school, waiting for these students. And when the tornado hit, 16 buses were damaged or destroyed or flown into the air. One pushed all the way back to a far fence, which is where the high school stadium is now. Chapter 1 tells a story of a well-known journalist, meteorologist, Steve Steinke, whose father was a bus driver. And what he doesn't know is that his father saw the peril in the sky and made a detour and pulled his children to safety. Later on, you did find out that they did meet up and were connected. Also, Dan, the high school opened that year. It was a brand new school. And the only destruction to the building itself was to the roof and air conditioning units on the roof. The building withstood that storm. It still stands today.
The irony is that those kids would have been alive today or uninjured if they had been inside the school.
Well, that's exactly right. And 17 children died that day. Most of them were young children. One of the things that Steve Steinke tells is he's walking to the school to try to find his father's bus, and he sees kids on the roof. And he's thinking, what are these kids doing on the roof? What he didn't know was that students were blown out there by the storm, and one student actually died up there. They found his body up there.
One of the things that made it so difficult for the community to recover from the storm in the early hours was that it caused severe damage to one of Belvedere's two hospitals, Highland Hospital. Describe how the hospital staff responded to this crisis.
They did their jobs. One of the nurses tells about having survived the tornado. The first thing she did was go into a mode of, where are my patients at? There's a story of a baby, the only baby in the nursery. When the storm hit, she realized that this baby needed to be taken care of, and she went to the door, and she could not open the door because of the pressure. And afterward, one of her first things to do is to check on the baby, and they opens the door, and the baby's fine, covered with dust, but the baby is fine.
This book had an earlier edition released in 2007. This new one coincides with the 50th anniversary and includes additional information. Mike, you've worked on this story for so many years. When you spend so much time with a tornado, what does it do to you every time you hear about a severe weather alert on the radio or TV?
It compels me to get in the basement. I mean, one thing I didn't get in the book and I meant to, it's just one of those things that was a small detail. The buses were lined up at Belvedere High School, nose to end. And if you notice today, and I think part of the reason they have those big wide gates is to block traffic to make sure that nobody's coming. But, you know, I'm told that another reason is to create space between the buses so there's not this sort of thing that would happen again. And another result was tornado sirens. And from where I live, I can hear two tornado sirens. And when we hear a tornado siren, we go to shelter. And I lived in Belvedere. I've lived there for almost 30 years now, or actually over 30 years. And one day I was picking up my youngest daughter at what is now Belvedere South Middle School. And it was a Friday. And it was a really stormy Friday. It was, you know, a lot of anger in the sky and noise and rain and everything. And we're parked in the circle lot to pick my daughter up. And all of a sudden we see people driving up, zooming up to the front of the school and running out of their cars and running into the building and grabbing their kid and coming back and taking off. And we're going, what is going on? There was a tornado warning that night. It was a tornado warning for Cherry Valley. And I'm sure these were tornado survivors who had the experience, and they wanted to make sure that their families were safe. That's when it hits you how much of an impact this event had on Belvedere. And not only that, but the people who survived it, who tell the stories. Anytime a storm came, you know, they went into a whole different protective mode. And it's very prevalent in town. It still is.
Mike Doyle is the author of The 1967 Belvedere Tornado 50 Years Later. At WNIJ.org, you can hear him read another excerpt from this book. Mike Doyle, thank you very much for coming in today.
Dan, it was a pleasure. Thank you for having me.